Welcome to another episode of Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and game masters to design perfect characters through imperfection. We cover all forms of game design, from interesting and engaging backstory creation to campaign and NPC development. Enjoy, remember to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic.
So you already like selected the podcast, so you know that this is Rolling Imperfection. You may not know that this is the podcast for both players and GMs for their story-driven campaigns. That's fine. I guess that's the main part of the intro. I don't know. I don't even know why we do this. You probably also know, if you glanced at the show notes or you have just, you know, listened to this podcast before, that I am in fact Kevin, and that is
Steve.
And we're here to talk about the metagame. You already knew that too. There's a title on this episode. Man, meta, I don't know. Maybe I just interpret meta as depressing. I thought that way even before, Facebook decided to transform, to transmutate or transmeditate, if you will.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still going to call them Facebook. They can try and hide under a different name all they want. I'm going to call them Facebook. That's who they are.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering where you were going with that. I was like, how is he going to do a metagaming intro? Is he going to talk about like, oh yeah, timestamp 237 and 1012 and pick out all the good parts, and I'll have to figure out how to align things in editing so that they're correct.
Dear listener, Steve is lying. Those are not the time codes. That's even going to be close.
Well, if you're a good GM, you pull the rug, right?
True. Steve's gonna add in like an extra like bunch of time.
I'll just do some solo conversation like, hi, how you doing? I saw you skipped the time code, and they're all secretly at the end like, oh yeah, it's at like the 40 minute and 30 second mark, and it's only a half hour episode. Gotcha.
We'll see. We'll see, I guess.
I don't know.
I was just going to do the strip down, just completely destroy our intro and be like, you know what? Like, how useful is it really? I guess it's slightly useful. It's more useful than I thought, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have good topics here because, I mean, like, I think most people are familiar with someone doing, you know, metagaming in their game, but it's the reactions to it, as we'll get over in this episode, are very, very varied and can oftentimes be the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, I do think we want to address, because I feel like our experience is tainted by reactions to the metagame. But what is the metagame, Steve? How do we want to define that?
Well, it's when you're gaming on Facebook and you're playing one of those silly tic-tac-toe games or whatever. Actually, I don't even know what games they have on
Facebook. Zuckerberg shows up and it's like, it's meta now. And yeah, every time Steve has been muting, every time Mark Zuckerberg has stepped in and said, it's meta now, every time we've called it Facebook. He just did it to me right now. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, he has all our data. He knows where we are. He's just like, I can hear him talking about me.
Anyway, no. What,
yeah,
what
we're not a political podcast or a tech podcast. Skipping that.
we have our political moments. I haven't scared away too many listeners that I've seen, so. I feel like I'm more guilty of that, to be fair.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just been too easy to leak out lately for me, I guess. But
No, that is also fair.
But to answer your question, in earnest, metagaming is essentially when you take information that your character doesn't know, but you, the player, do know, and you're using that to justify an action in the game for your character. So, like, for example, if your character is trapped in a cell and a bunch of their characters are having a conversation, you know, call back to our prison episodes, but you take information that they hear outside of it and use that to somehow, like, get out of your jail cell yourself. That doesn't make any sense. Your character doesn't have that information. You, the player, do, because you're sitting at the table hearing it, but you can't act on that information because it doesn't make sense. And then it basically breaks down the game and it just turns into a board game at that point, or a discussion.
Yeah. And keep in mind, Steve went with action. It can also be an inaction. You can also be like, shit, I know because I heard an interaction between the character I'm talking to and another character that this NPC I'm talking to is going to betray us, but my character doesn't know it. So I'm not going to go with them.
Yeah, it's like, what was the Indiana Jones movie with the Holy Grail? And it's like, oh yeah, all but one of these are poisoned, but they're all poisoned, and your character wouldn't actually know that.
The Last Crusade?
They're just like, I'm going to choose not to drink any of them. You go ahead and go. Excuse me?
They're not all poisoned.
No, they're not.
But yeah, spoilers for the Holy Grail, sort of, maybe.
Sort of.
Maybe, if you haven't seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, it's a classic. It was, you should see it.
Yeah, it's good.
But yeah, I do think, before we really get into our experiences, I do think metagaming can be bad. As Steve pointed out, it can become very wargamey or board gamey. You know, you just start going, okay, who's got good decks? Which occasionally a little bit of that's fine, right? If you're going, who's got good decks, just to try to like skip to the most likely outcome of unlocking a stupid door or something, that's probably okay.
Yeah. I feel like there's certain times where you as the GM, not referring to Kevin as a GM, I'm saying like you, the listener, where you're the GM and you think of like this awesome thing to do and you think it's going to be like a great puzzle, or even if it's not a puzzle, you think it should be like a simple problem. There's like, you know, a dozen ways each of the players has to like solve this problem, and they get into that room and they're scratching their head and they have no idea what's going on. To get the game moving, you might just let them like meta a little bit just to move on. You're like, okay, this isn't go as planned, but whatever, you know, sometimes it's not bad, but I don't think in any situation I would ever say it's good. So correct me if I'm wrong.
I think there are cases, like I said, I think there are certain shortcuts that can be taken that are good, just generally overall improve the quality of the game, of just going, okay, like who can just do this? Like,
oh yeah, I guess that's true.
So yeah, especially when you're getting into like the nitty gritty, like dicey stuff. You don't always need to have like a full in character conversation for every action. So yeah, I do think the danger is where you start to lose the role play part.
Yeah.
And you get into stuff where like a character just becomes their player, or the characters just become an indistinct group of tools. Like they just become like, not like tools like they're jerks, but like, okay, this is the rogue. They do this thing, you know?
Yeah, you freaking sorcerer without fireball.
I mean, you know, you gotta reject easy mode, okay? Because at that point, everyone just has the same knowledge, and essentially the characters are just like, which button do I press, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, and naturally, the worst outcome of just having metagamey shit is just murder hobos. Like, that's the road, that's where the road leads, and can be fun for a little while, but I don't really see how you sustain a campaign that way. So, yeah, now...
Yeah.
Knowing where this goes has driven some GMs insane.
are you on that list of GMs?
I don't think GM me was driven insane. I think player me was driven insane.
Oh, okay. What? Are you talking to GMX's games?
I am.
Oh, okay. Yeah, where was it kind of expected that we were to do that? Because that was his?
Well, he didn't. He like, okay, we'll set up the next section.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
So, no. It's all right. When we first started playing, we had bad experiences. We've talked about that. We brought it up again recently. I feel like we have chunks where we just don't talk about it. Our genre episodes, we frequently don't bother. But our first GM, GMX, was obsessed with stopping metagaming in his games. Obsessed. And the problem was, what, Steve? What was the problem with us not, like, what was the problem with that? What problems did this cause?
I mean, it came down to, like, a lot of his stuff couldn't be solved without some degree of metagaming. He expected us not to metagame. And, like, as a result, like, I don't know, like, I don't know what he was expecting from us. It was just, like, I guess he was trying to get us to, like, act in character more or something like that. But it just became, like, such a weird pain in the ass that just wasn't fun. Like, I don't know. Like, there was a lot of things annoying with it.
I don't know that he wanted us to act so much in character as act as he expected.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, he probably had, like, a clear vision in his mind. He's like, oh, this is Steve. This is how he plays. This is Kevin. This is how he plays. They will solve this going this way and this way. And you if you ever GM'd, you can't do that. You might try it once, and it don't work. Let me tell you, you can never predict what your players are going to do.
Yeah, that was like most of my last session, actually.
confusing you on our route?
Was me going, okay, they're going to do this. This will take this much time. No, they're not going to do that. This is going to take an hour.
Isn't that all of your Kids on Bikes game, though? Because, I mean, like, you're like, oh, yeah, we'll get this done in a week. Or we'll get through a week in this session, and it just didn't happen.
That is a lot of my Kids on Bikes game.
Yeah.
I felt it was more negative than I wanted last time. Not that it was, like, bad, but and not that it ruined the game, but it was more negative last time. I set up a thing where they had to find a secret door, and, like, it went on a little long. So, partially my fault. But with GMX, he, like, didn't even really want us to, like, talk to each other. Which is super weird. Like, weird vibe. Yeah. So, like, he would literally cut off clarifying questions and be like, no, that's metagame. And spoiler alert, clarifying questions can be metagame, but they are not always metagame.
No, they're not. Sometimes it's just like, I present to you this description of this thing, and your character is looking at it, and you're like, okay, but, like, what is its, like, texture? It's like, I can't tell you that. It's like, well, I go up and I touch it. I can't tell you that. Why? I don't think he was ever that bad, but I mean.
Well, no, because we'd also be like, oh, well, can I ask about this thing? And he'd be like, no. And we'd be like, why? Like, this isn't a visual medium. It's not like we can actually, like, see, like, each other's characters do the things they do, you know? So, yeah. I also tend to think it can kill some strategy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely it can.
Because in theory, maybe not like the first couple of sessions or something, but in theory, you watch someone do something. You can recognize how they do it and usually what they do before they're about to do it. So in theory, after a couple of sessions, for instance, my sorcerer should be able to look at Steve's knight and go, oh, okay, he's going to, like, you know, shield bash that guy. And so I want, after he shield bashes that guy, to, like, hit him with a spell, you know?
Yeah, makes sense.
And in order to do that, I have to be like, okay, Steve, you're gonna shield bash that guy? And Steve could be like, yeah. Now that is metagaming. Spoilers. That is. But I think it's legitimate. I think that's fine. I think it can be explained. And I think part of this is, like, oh God, the plot hole of it all. If people like to be like, oh, well, that just isn't explained in the movie, therefore it's a plot hole. This is a very, like, early 2010s thing. And no, in fact, if you can think of a reasonable explanation, then it's probably fine. So, yeah. And most of the time, it's just people being, like, brain lazy. So,
yeah. When it comes down to it, when you look at, like, GMX in this situation that we're, like, explaining on, like, how he did things, is that it felt like we were playing a competitive game. It didn't feel like we were playing a game for fun. It's like, oh, well, you can't metagame and, like, have conversations like that. It's like, well, presumably we've been, you know, traveling together a little while. You can assume the tank is going to, you know, shield bash or whatever. You know, it's like, you can make assumptions. You don't have to. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just like an ease of, I don't know how to describe it. I was gonna say ease of use, but I don't think that's correct. But I think you get what I'm trying to say.
It's a simplicity of play thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just, it improves the overall flow to a degree if you're, you know, skipping over, like, the simple stuff. But, like, sometimes it just, like, it doesn't matter. It's like, what is the consequences of, like, asking it? It's like, oh, my enemies are too easy to defeat. It's like, well, then, you know, if they have, like, good group cohesion, then, you know, start throwing harder monsters at them. I mean, that's what you did in Silent Spiral when we started having, like, really easy times with some monsters. You started to be like, well, time for two feral hogs.
I mean, yeah.
Am I wrong? And,
no, you're not wrong.
Okay.
I also tend to modify my monsters and customize them for my party, which can definitely help if you're worried about that kind of metagame where, like, one player has the fucking monster book open and is, like, looking through it or just knows it like Monster frequently does.
Oh, yeah.
I do plan on that. You play with GMs. Like, GMs play with each other. So, like, yeah. You know, A, GMs can be respectful, but also, like, you know, you can change some shit up. It's one of the best parts of the game. And I also think you addressed it there, too. The game felt like we were playing a competitive game against the GM, which is a terrible dynamic. Oh my god, if the players think they're playing against you, fuck, man. I don't think I could mess up worse than that. That's like, ugh.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where, like, it's just like a downward spiral. So, like, if you don't allow metagaming and then your player, you make it competitive like that, then, which I don't know why we're spending so much time on. Sorry, I brought this topic up, but.
No worries.
It's like a downward spiral because you will have your players thinking that it's competitive, and so they're going to get competitive, and then you're going to get competitive back, and then pretty soon you're just killing your players, and they're turning into murder hobos, and you're angry that this happened.
It's an arms race that the GM has every single tool to win possible.
Yeah, but ultimately they're the one that loses when the game gets called off because they did all this planning and it's now the shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like, it also creates a table where people are afraid to even just ask basic questions.
Yeah.
And that's just bad. Asking questions is like half the game.
Yeah, I've had jobs where that's like been an issue where they're like, no, you need to do, you know, like your due diligence. You need to like go and look through all this and like figure out the answer. And it's like, that makes sense. But then to like a certain degree, it's also just like, hey, I'm on a, you know, like a time restraint. I can't go and do this thing. Can you just tell me the answer that I know that you know? And it's like, no, it's like, why not? Like, I'm sure everyone's experienced that at a job before. I'm pretty sure it ain't just me. But
yeah,
it sucks, man.
Yeah. It also scares new players.
Yeah.
Like, cause GMX made a big deal about it. And I think this has become more of a thing of the past. But he made like a huge deal about it. And like when you explain some of the issues that can arise, it makes sense. But when I started GMing, I started realizing like it doesn't matter that much. Like it really doesn't mean as much as he made it sound. So
yeah, because like what are the consequences of it? Like I said, your monsters are easier to defeat or
yeah. Now, like we said, if it gets too far, yeah, but there's a bunch of other stuff you can do to prevent murder hobos.
True.
Social consequences, which he was really bad at because he didn't like his NPCs to talk also, but that's a different issue.
Oh, God, so, that was so annoying.
That was the worst. That was the worst thing ever.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. We'll be brief. Charm an NPC. NPC is just like, oh, no, I have important information and I'll totally tell them if I'm their friend. Oh no, I croak and die. It's like, really?
Ah, yes.
Really?
Cast charm, the best kill spell.
Yeah.
My personal favorite kill spell. That, Steve, is why I don't need fucking fireball. All right. All right. I've got charm person. I don't need fireball.
But in that game, we didn't have GMX as a GM.
I know. oh man.
That GM was smart enough to go, charm person doesn't say they die.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think there are a few easy ways to handle this. Honestly, all it takes, if you're with new players and not with players who are already like chill, like my players just like, no, I hardly have to do anything. honestly, I think the most tense it's gotten is when another player was like, hey, wait, isn't that metagaming? And I'm not even sure Steve remembers this. I don't distinctly remember it. It was sometime during one of my Silent Spiral games was the last time it really became like an issue.
In Silent Spiral, really? I don't remember that event.
It was like very brief. Like someone was like, wait, is that metagaming? And I was like, ah, don't worry about it. So.
Oh, okay. Because I thought
like
you
a small combo.
I thought you would have talked about like the Kids on Bikes where I wanted to burn the envelope or not burn it. I wanted to look inside of it. And we had a discussion, which I still think there was some suspicions. I had a very curious character. And I feel like, okay, I don't want to rant, but back. I feel like you're indulging in Abby's sense of like, I need to find stuff out way more leniently than you did mine. So I didn't see why it was that. Like, I understand that it was a big plot point. I'm just saying it would have made sense for my character to try if I had the tools.
Okay. I mean, I gave my reasons privately, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm assuming there was something like really important that you didn't want to have spoiled that at that point. Because this was like session 2 or 3.
Yeah.
At that point. So it was really early on, which I understand as a player, but at the same time, I was just like, why are you and Monster getting my back that I'm metagaming? It's like, I'm not. like everyone's saying like, oh, you did that. You shouldn't have done that. And it's like,
see, I don't think that was like a metagame issue. I think that was like, I think that was like an explanation issue. I think that was me giving a bad explanation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It can be that too, GMs and players, honestly.
Yeah,
you can request
exactly,
a better explanation of things. And then your GM might tell you it's not that important.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm a GM who's not afraid to tell my players when something is not important.
I guess something I wanted to mention that like made me think of is just like, at a certain point, you need to like think about like, is it important to argue on metagaming or not? I mean, if it's frequent enough and you feel like your GM is, you know, GMX, like we described, then you want to sit down and talk to him probably after the game. But I feel like if your GM's like, hey, you're metagaming, you shouldn't do that. I feel like you should like listen and look at it objectively. I feel like that doesn't need to be said. I feel like most people probably listening to our podcast aren't going to be like, why should I do that? You know, I think that's pretty common sense in my opinion, but I know it's not always.
Nope, it's not always.
Yeah, it's not a given, but.
Yeah, honestly, just explain the concept in episode 0. Explain why it should be avoided. I'd say try not even to make it that big of a deal. Like, you really don't want your players, like, policing each other or anything. Just, you know, when it happens, just say, hey, I think that's a little bit metagamey. I think your player wouldn't know that, or your character wouldn't know that.
Yep.
And then see how they deal. Like, that's it. It is not a punishable offense. Spoiler alert, GMX treated it as like a fucking criminal offense. It was like the number one law was like, if I catch you metagaming, your character will be punished and you as a player will not be able to speak, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, one of the worst parts of it is like, he loved puzzles, and the puzzles, like, you would not be able to solve them like in character, like pretty much ever. And you had a slim chance to solve them talking amongst the table like a board game, in all honesty. Like, they were,
yeah,
they were not something that like he laid out well enough for us to be able to like go and figure out in character, which that's like two problems. One is he was kind of encouraging metagaming while punishing us for metagaming. And the other thing was like, he was just very poor at setting up puzzles and describing things. So it was like a multi-factor issue.
Yeah, his puzzles required like you to know about the type of puzzle that it was, and like,
yeah,
I know some puzzles, but like,
I feel like he would have been mad at us if we knew, like, if we're like, oh, I understand this riddle. He would have been upset as well, which was another thing.
Yeah, one of the things was like, we came upon this door in a dungeon, and my sorcerer, one of my many sorcerers. I love my sorcerers. They never last more than like three sessions, but I love them. The games don't last more than. I feel like any game I make a sorcerer in is doomed to fail. Just if this is your first time, that's my luck. Maybe it'll change. Press X to doubt. I believe a sorcerer, and we came upon this door, and they were like, "Oh, it's locked." Blah blah blah, and I was like, "Oh, okay," and so. I forget if we knew something was behind it or not, but I was just like, okay, guys, go back. We'll go back around the corner of this like little dungeon. And I used a mage hand to knock on the door. And I was waiting for like a guard to come out so we could like
ambush him.
Yeah. Ambush him. Like, yeah. Like a little Three Stoogesy. I was like, I don't know if this is gonna work. It's worth a try though, like fucking mage hand, like whatever. And it just opened, like the door opened, and so we approached cautiously, and like that was it. It was just a like all you need to do to open that door is knock. And he's like, did you know that riddle? And I was like, I mean, I've heard of it, but that's not the reason I did what I did, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was definitely interesting. I think another thing, too, and, oh, man, I wasn't ready to talk about this. Otherwise, I might have been able to find my notes on it. But we did play. GMX played in, I think we've said in the past, one of my games. There was actually another game that he played in of mine. And I believe it was a War Machine-style game.
Oh, yeah.
I remember. Yeah, yeah. Because I had that, and I made a little, like, dungeon. And in it, I had kind of like a puzzle based on like the elements, and like through exploring the dungeon, like you're supposed to, you find out stuff to figure out how the elements and what an interaction with these like little elemental like carvings or whatever did. And I distinctly remember him being like, oh, wow, that's like really cool and really clever. And I was like, no, that's just how, like, I didn't say this to him. I should have. But I was like, no, that's just like how this is like how it's supposed to work. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. You give your players information and they figure out and they say stuff. And sometimes the stuff they say is not stuff you planned, but is stuff you like. And then you take and make that real anyway.
Uh-oh.
But yeah. So anyway, all of that is to say, I don't even think metagame was involved in that puzzle either. I think that was literally just players in character talking to each other as good puzzles are.
Yeah.
But don't punish a player for metagaming unless it really, really becomes a problem. And so like on the murder hobo path. So yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, like the only time I feel like you would even think about punishing a player for it is like if it's like a repeat offense, you know, like you've talked to them many, many times and you don't necessarily want to kick them out of the group or whatever. But like it needs to stop so that, you know, for the life of the game, it needs to stop.
Yeah.
And you've tried talking to them and they just don't get it. Then I feel like you need to show them why they need to get it. I don't think you should be like, I'm going to kill your character.
No,
I think that's
really
extreme.
I think even in-game punishing is quite a bit extreme. Like any in-game, like, oh, well, looks like you have a curse or something, you know?
I don't know. Or, like, how would you feel about this? Like, a person's metagaming, okay, and then I'm talking with Monster, and I have an NPC tell them a lie, but I didn't tell anybody that's a lie. I'm just lying to Monster's character that, you know, there's vast riches over here, and it ends up being a trap set for Monster specifically. But then the person who metagamed went and tried to get the treasure and got their ass trapped. Like, I think that would be fine to, like, punish in character. Because, like, how would you punish out of character?
You punish out of character by pulling them aside and basically being like, hey, like, got to cut this shit out or, like, this game is going to end. I don't know. I feel like you can explain it to somebody. I feel like you can sit down, you can explain the consequences, listen to the start of this episode, give them this episode. Yeah.
I mean,
if they really don't care, then you kick them out of the game.
Oh, okay.
You don't kill their character. You just, sorry, different game styles, different time styles. No, this is actually just play styles. So
yeah, I was just kind of like thinking like, yeah, most of the time you can sit down and talk to someone and then they should understand and, you know, change. However, and I'm not trying to insult this person. We've talked about them many times. M is going to betray the party. He wants to betray the party. You can't talk to M and tell him not to betray the party. He's going to try and betray the party.
I mean, I can and did multiple times.
Yeah, but I just mean some people are very set in their ways. And like, I mean, I don't like, you know, punishing in character, but I feel like, you know, if they get their character into trouble because they're metagaming, that's their fault. You know what
I mean?
Okay. That's why I think that's okay. And then they might understand that, hey, maybe I can't just like rely on information that my character doesn't have. I should rely on the information that my character does have. I don't know.
I think that would still require an extra explanation after that, too.
Probably, yeah.
Like, I think someone would need to be to still have that explained to them. Just as someone who, like, knows you can't just give an example without explaining it as a teacher. So.
You have a deck of cards. What kind of cards? Are they poker cards? Are they magic cards? Are they Yu-Gi-Oh cards? What kind of cards are they?
It's time to duel.
Well, clearly they're Yu-Gi-Oh. I summon Exodia.
Exodia is not in that deck.
Damn it. Damn them for throwing away my Exodia cards into the ocean. Curses. Why do I remember that shit? Fuck.
I don't know, man. Anyway, any other thoughts?
No, I think we've covered pretty much everything.
Yeah, it's not as rich of a topic as one might expect.
No, it's basically just like, you know, communication. Try and be understanding, try and be open-minded. I feel like if you're the type of person that's going to play, you know, a TTRPG, then, you know, you're already a step in the way of being open-minded, then...
In theory.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Yeah. Basically, I can't imagine it's common for people who play tabletop role-playing games to be closed-minded, because then they would just be playing themselves. They wouldn't be playing a character to begin with.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
You played yourself. Damn it. That should have been the last line. Trying to catch my sign off. I guess I'll do that. Maybe we can come up with something as good or better.
Yeah, so now Steve is going to give our catchphrase and sign-off, something that I thought was really funny at the start of this, and now we just kind of do because it's expected. Oh, I'm still doing the meta thing. Sorry, Steve.
I was going to say, like, wait, what? I thought we were doing this on purpose. I mean, remember to play what you love, and until next time, your character do something epic, but what? I mean, huh?
I mean, we do mean that. Like,
yeah.
We are wishing you those feelings. Anyway, you played yourself. Yeah. Don't play yourself.
Okay. It was too good not to use, I guess.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com, or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection, or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.